Hello and welcome back to Getaway Day. As always, I am Mason, he is Gautham, and we are here to talk some baseball. Today we've got an episode that I am incredibly excited for. We are taking two of my absolute favorite things and mashing them together. If you've seen our social media, you've seen me doing a lot of stuff with baseball cards. Some would say I'm addicted to them. I would argue it's a hobby. I'll let you make that determination for yourself, but we are going to do a packing pod. So we have a blaster box, just one that I picked up from Walmart, of 2022 Topps Update Series. And after this week in baseball, our entire conversation, unscripted, being guided by the magic of the pack. What do you think, Gow? Are you excited for this?
Very excited. Looking forward to it. We have so much to get into this week, and I'm excited to see where that box of cards takes us.
Yeah, it'll be nice. So Update is one that's really interesting because there's a lot of like the rookies that came up midseason and some other players like that. So not necessarily all the big name guys. So we could get into some really interesting conversation here. So I'm excited for that. But before we get into that, we've got quite a bit of this week in baseball to talk about. And I think the best place to start is over in Detroit. What do you think?
All right. Yeah, Detroit.
I guess Philadelphia is probably the better side of this. So Philadelphia and Detroit made a trade here this week, sending Gregory Soto and Cody Clemens from Detroit over to Philly in exchange for Matt Vierling, Nick Maton, I forgot to put the name,
but he's a catcher that I didn't remember his name. And then I forgot to go back and put it in. So I
Matt
apologize
Vierling,
to that guy.
Nick Maton and that guy.
Yeah. My bad.
Gowie, what do you think of this trade?
I actually really like this trade for the Tigers side because they send out a reliever who's been their best reliever for a few years now, Gregory Soto. He's a good reliever, but he's not really like this lockdown closer, even though people kind of think that he is that just because of his role with the Tigers. But the Phillies get like a solid reliever, but what the Tigers actually get are some young players who haven't had a real chance to prove themselves in like everyday roles in Matt Vierling and Nick Maton. A lot of people have Matt Vierling being kind of a breakout guy this season. He hits the ball super hard. He can play all three outfield spots. He's only 25.
And
there's
fast.
A lot to like. He's really fast. Yeah. I mean, a lot to like there. And then same kind of thing with Nick Maton, maybe not to the same degree, but he's never really played every day aside from some very short times. And they were both guys that were sort of blocked in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is in a win now mode. They're trying to bolster their bullpen, which they definitely did. And I mean, Vierling and Maton are not really, they're kind of expendable for the Phillies team right now.
Yeah. And like Vierling, you could argue, was a really kind of important piece for the Phillies coming in as like a defensive substitution for a guy like Schwarber, a guy like Bryce. He played a lot when Bryce was hurt. But Maton,
with Marsh. And it shows me that they have a lot of faith in Brandon Marsh that he can play against righties and lefties.
Yeah, but Nick Maton, like, as soon as they signed Trey Turner, they moved Bryson Stott over to second. Nick Maton no longer has a position on that team. There's just not they have too much in Bryson Stott, and the guy has so much upside. Like, it would be stupid not to give him a shot that it kind of just made it to where Maton just was kind of left without a position. So, makes a lot of sense to me as well. I really kind of like this trade. And then Cody Clemens is an outfielder, right?
He's an infielder. He may end up just being a first baseman, but.
But yeah, so he goes over to Philly as well. Anything else on that trade, or should we talk about a couple of these free agent signings?
Let's go ahead to the free agents.
All right. So I know you did a little video here on AJ Pollock the other day whenever he got picked up by the Seattle Mariners for 1 year, $7 million. So you want to give us a little rundown of your take there?
Yeah, so AJ Pollock had a pretty bad season last year with the White Sox, which was a little bit characteristic for him because he's had a really good career, obviously had quite a few injuries, but last year it was just a down year. Like, didn't make as much contact as he had in the past, didn't show as much power, wasn't really stealing bases. So I don't know, maybe it wasn't just wasn't a good fit with the White Sox or whatever, but I kind of expect him to bounce back because he's been doing this for a long time and he's been a really productive player. I will note that the Mariners have like a million outfielders on their roster right now. I'm not exactly sure what the plan is, but I feel like there are more moves to be made here.
Yeah, because just right off the top of my head, now they've got Pollock, they've got J-Rod, they've got Teo, they've got Cooper Hummel, they've got
Taylor Trammell,
Jared Kelnick.
Jared Kelnick, Sam Haggerty. I mean, like, they're just loaded with outfielders right now, and I feel like someone's got to get moved out, and it's not going to be one of the guys they just brought in Teoscar Hernandez or Pollock, and it's obviously not going to be Julio Rodriguez. So I think Pollock will probably play – he'll probably split some time in the outfield and probably DH as well. So I kind of like it for Seattle.
Yeah, I definitely think he's a little bit of a bounce-back candidate this year. Maybe not to the levels where he was back when he was with
the Dodgers.
Yes, the Dodgers. That is, was he with the Diamondbacks before that?
He was. He started his career with the Diamondbacks.
Okay, that's what I thought. And then for some reason, it seems like that was forever ago.
It was. It kind of was a while ago because he was on the Dodgers for several years too.
Gotcha. But then a similar move was made here this week by Toronto, bringing in Brandon Belt for 1 year at $9.3 million. And I really like this move. Brandon Belt is a veteran left-handed bat. He is pretty much only a first baseman. He's only really played first base for the Giants throughout his entire career. Dude's in his mid-30s now. You're not really expecting him to go learn another position. So they're bringing him in most likely to be basically a backup first baseman to Vladdy, a part-time DH, kind of splitting time with Jano and Kirk is whoever's not catching that day. You may see them, you may see Belt, but I think this is a really good move as it gets them a really solid bat still in Brandon Belt. He's not what he was in 2014, but he's still a pretty solid bat here. So I think this move makes a ton of sense for them, and I really, really like it.
Yeah, I love Brandon Belt, the player. He is, like, amazing, actually. Low-key amazing in the last, like, 3 years when he's actually played, not counting 2022. Just insane power, really good walk rates, not a terrible first baseman. So lots to like there, but I have to mention this. This is the unfortunate thing about Brandon Belt. I'm gonna list off the various ailments that he's had over the last 5 years. I'm gonna try to do it in one breath, but I don't know if I can do that. It's a pretty long list. Appendectomy, hyperextended right knee, tendonitis in his right Achilles, a strained left oblique, right knee inflammation, a fractured left thumb, COVID, inflammation, and then surgery on his right knee.
He stubbed his toe when he kicked his counter.
Probably. He probably dropped a glass milk bottle on his toe or something, too.
He tried putting on pants like Brandon Morrow.
Yeah. So keep this man away from anything sharp or blunt or anything at all. Just let this man play baseball, and Blue Jays fans will be happy with him.
They need to get him a butler is what they need to do.
A butler? Yeah, yes. Like that idea.
But speaking of guys who should be kept away from sharp objects... I guess who just got DFA'd this week?
Trevor Bauer.
It's been a long time coming. He was reinstated from his 194 game suspension, which some would argue wasn't long enough. Others would argue it was too much, but I disagree with those people vehemently.
I mean, whatever you think about that. It was the longest suspension under the domestic violence joint policy in history. So that is fact.
That is true. It does now kind of become a precedent, though, which is a bit of the problem with it, with reinstating him. But we don't make those decisions. It happened. Trevor Bauer had a massive contract with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have DFA'd him and are on the hook for $22.5 million this year by doing so. There were some statements put out by Bauer, by the team. They seem to have differing viewpoints on how this all went down. Bauer seems to think that everyone in the clubhouse supports him, that the front office wanted him there, and then all of a sudden the next day he was DFA'd. Something tells me that isn't exactly what happened. I'm not gonna stay on this one too long because it just makes me incredibly angry. So you got any more thoughts on that? If not, we'll move over to Coppolella.
No, just that, I mean, the guy hasn't really shown any real remorse for his actions. So probably another team will take a chance on him at some point, but they're going to face a lot of backlash, just as the Dodgers were even facing backlash for, you know, taking their time to make this decision. I don't know exactly what was fueling that. Maybe it was, you know, for some sort of competitive advantage or what may be, but it's absolutely deserved negative attention for the Dodgers and then whatever team may sign him in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I could think of a reason that they would have taken this long to make the decision that would actually be justifiable, and that would be from a legal sense. Like, if they're making sure that they have fully documented just cause so that he can't come back with a lawsuit and whatever, whatever, whatever. Although baseball contracts aren't really exactly the same as a labor agreement.
Yeah,
so I don't know. There could be something else that we don't see, but yeah. So, but he's no longer on the Dodgers. He is available for other teams to pick up. We will see kind of what happens there. In other suspension news, former GM of the Atlanta Braves, John Coppolella, was actually reinstated from his lifetime ban after 5 years here this week. So for those of you that don't really know who that is, don't really remember, John Coppolella was the guy who got in trouble for violating a whole bunch of international signing rules. They were giving bonuses to international players that were larger than what they were reporting to the major leagues in order to bring people in. It ended up leading to 12 players being released from the organization and allowed to sign elsewhere. They lost picks, I think, in a couple of drafts. He got a lifetime ban. But yeah, so do you have anything else you want to share there, Gowie, or any?
Yeah, just that if you go and read his statement that he put out, he was very appreciative of Rob Manfred for reinstating him and actually showed a lot of contrition for his actions. And he's kind of a guy that you feel like he has served his time. It's been 5 years. He's had to go do other things, and seems like an appropriate change in that suspension of his.
Yeah, and the other thing with Coppolella is, so I was reading the Athletic article about it today, and at the time when he was suspended, he also put out this big statement apologizing, taking full responsibility for it, basically saying no one else was involved. I realize this has ruined my future in baseball, my career in baseball, all this stuff. And he showed remorse and contrition at the time. 5 years later, he's doing the same thing. If a guy wants to get back in baseball after making a huge, huge mistake, that's the way you do it. We have a question here in the chat. Can they uplift the Pete Rose ban next? Pete Rose has kind of done things a little bit the same way as Bauer has been doing it. So I doubt he gets his lifted. All of the things we're talking about are incredibly wrong. Do not condone them at all. Some of them, that's a conversation for another time. But Coppola is probably the best example of a guy who has been punished, accepting his punishment, and learning from it. So, interested to see if he gets picked up by a team to work in their front office now, or if he stays out of baseball.
I feel like if he wants it, he can definitely latch on with another team, because he's got an amazing track record besides the, obviously, the violations that he committed and all that. But he built, like, the 2021 Braves, like, a lot of their core players were acquired by him.
I was going to say, he signed and or drafted Acuna, Albies, Riley,
Max Fried,
Dansby Max Fried, Swanson, Mike Soroka? Or was Soroka the first Anthopoulos year? Because it was up to 2017, I think, is when Coppola got... He resigned and then was banned.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, so he's got a fantastic track record. Excited to see where he ends up. Let's see. Now, let's get to some actual let's stay with the sad stuff and then we'll end on the happy stuff. How about that? Because I realized that we're kind of doing a whole roller coaster the way we got it listed here. So we did get a little bit more news this week. Liam Hendricks, reliever for the Chicago White Sox, closer for the White Sox, has been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma this week. He is not really expected to play much, if at all, here for the White Sox in 2023. So our thoughts with him, that's a pretty big thing there. So, wishing him the best. It's been kind of cool seeing all of the, baseball kind of react, kind of getting behind him. So,
yeah, definitely one of the best ambassadors of the game of baseball and one of the most exciting players to watch when he's pitching too. So
plus
his accent is just so lovable.
Exactly.
So, best wishes for Liam.
And then, also in injury news, Trevor Story had a, what did they call it? They called it a bracing procedure, I think, in his shoulder.
Very similar to Tommy John. Pretty much Tommy John.
It was an internal brace surgery on his right elbow. So, yeah. So, pretty similar to Tommy John. The Red Sox are not committing to if he will be out the whole season or if he'll be able to play, but they said we are not counting on him this year. So Heim Bloom kind of seems like they're calling this year a wash on Trevor Story. This is huge because now the Red Sox do not have a shortstop because they were banking on Trevor Story taking over for Xander Bogaerts. Hoping that his arm strength was going to recover. Well, clearly now it won't. So what do the Red Sox do here?
I have no idea. They have to, there's no shortstops left, as we're going to talk about here in a second, for them to sign that are really impactful. So they're going to have to like mix and match with Kike Hernandez. And
did they rush Marcelo?
I don't think so. He's,
I mean, it seems like a dumb question, but the spot they're in right now, like, Jeter Downs is no longer in their organization. He was their AAA shortstop, and, like, yeah, he wasn't what he was cracked up to be, but it would have made sense for him to be the next guy up, at least in a temporary.
Just looking at the roster right now, I mean, you got Hernandez. Oof, it's really rough. Like, they don't even have legitimate, like, any depth at shortstop. They signed Nico Goodrum to a spring training invite. Like, it could be very rough. I assume they're going to sign a Jose Iglesias or some, like, major league level guy, but not like a good one if they don't make a trade.
Yeah. Honestly, Jose Iglesias is probably the best thing, or the best, like,
he's for the best guy left
spot. Well, he's the best guy left, but to be honest, like, on a one-year deal until Story's back next year, I actually don't hate that move in a vacuum. Like, yeah, you're not getting a lot of production out of him. This is not going to be a first-place season for the Boston Red Sox, the way that everything is shaked out this year, this offseason. So getting a guy like Iglesias to come in for a year, play shortstop, he hits or he makes contact a lot. He gets on base a decent amount. So like he could help this offense, even though he's a terrible hitter. So I don't know. I actually wouldn't hate that move for the Red Sox, given everything that's happened.
Yeah, there's very few options for them if they don't go the trade route.
Yeah. Let's see. And so last on our This Week in Baseball list, before we get to the fun stuff, Carlos Correa has signed with a major league club. Woo! We've never heard that one before.
I wonder if Carlos, we should have held off on this one until the physical was passed.
I mean, probably. He took his physical today.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. The Twins should know what his situation is, and because, I mean, hell, they did it last year. They signed him last year. Unless he hurt himself, like, after the season, there shouldn't be anything that shocks them. But he agreed to a 6-year, $200 million contract that has vesting years that could grow to a 10-year, $270 million deal. So this is going to be a really confusing contract, probably. It's going to be pretty complicated. But then again, the entire Carlos Correa saga this offseason has been confusing as hell. So I don't even want to necessarily say this is a done deal, even though I think it'll be a done deal this time. Yeah. But something I don't know.
The fact that two teams obviously ended up passing up on him makes you very concerned about his health. But if he is the Carlos Correa that we know that like he can play like, then it's a great deal for the Twins. You know, they've got to be thrilled. That, like, when he signed with the Giants, that any chance of him going back to the Twins was pretty much zero. And the fact that it's turned in about a month here, it's amazing for Twins fans, I would say.
Yeah. And if Correa comes out and repeats what he did this year and does it 2-3 times, vests even 1 year of this contract, that is going to be a big middle finger to the Giants and to the Mets.
Yeah,
because I'm guessing it's going to be results based for the vesting years. So.
I believe it has to do with plate appearances. So it's about him staying.
Okay, home. Gotcha. But yeah, that'd be a big middle finger to both those teams if he ends up staying healthy, getting some of those extra years after the 6. So, and I mean, the dude is incredible at baseball when he's healthy. So I kind of think that this will end up being longer than a 6-year deal. I don't know that he's going to make it to the 10, but I could see him end up with like 7 or 8 years by the time it's all said and done.
I think it's going to pay off for them, but that's without knowing the health component of the situation. But I like the deal for the Twins.
Yeah, and the nice thing about it is this is, what is that AAV?
It's like 33 some million for the first 6 years.
Yeah, so that's not bad at all. Like, that's very stomachable. For a team that really is not spending a whole lot of money on anything right now, they have enough to go out next offseason and continue to add to that, knowing that Correa will be there. They won't have to try and re-sign him yet again next year. So,
I do like that they are going and making this big deal because they really needed it. They don't have a shortstop, like, in-house necessarily. But yeah, they've got to do more. I do like a small market team going out and getting landing a big free agent. That's great.
Yeah. Cool. So that is all we have for this week at baseball. And now we are getting to the fun part that, we're going to have to see how this goes because I don't have the best setup for this. So let me go ahead. I'll explain what we're doing. Gowie and I will get our if you want to call me on FaceTime right now as I'm talking through this, I'll get that figured out. Then we will get going with our packing pod. So essentially what we're going to do, if you guys watch MLB The Show, Twitch or YouTube or whatever, you've probably seen content creators do what they call pack and play. So they will get a box similar to this, open it, and then their team can only be comprised of players that they draw in their box. We want to do that for our podcast, who we're going to talk about, what we're going to talk about. And so what we're going to do is I have seven packs in this box with 14 cards each. There is also one. It's essentially an extra card. It's a manufactured relic that comes in every box. So we're going to use that to build a starting nine, a pitcher, and a I should add DH to our list here. A starting nine, a starting pitcher, and a relief pitcher. And then I'm actually going to use these later this week. It's tentatively looking like Friday. I'm going to go play MLB The Show here on our Twitch channel. And we're going to do some gameplay with these teams and see how they fare. So, yeah, this should be fun. So let's get this set up here. I don't know. Is that going to work?
Yes.
Okay. I should turn the volume down. Microphone off. Turn that around. Okay. So you should be able to see my cards now, Gabby.
Yes.
All right. So I will probably not show all 100 cards to the camera for you guys, but the ones that we choose or any hits, I will show. But just because I don't have enough cameras on my desk to be able to do this 100% properly. If this is something that we all like, I will definitely figure out how to do it correctly next time. So let's go ahead and break open the box. Gally, I hope you have your Fangraphs up.
Always.
Let's see. So we're going to take turns drafting. I need to add in a DH here because I forgot it.
Wait, do we have enough packs for that?
We will grab a DH to how we grab the pitchers, which I think we still might be one short. So it'll just be best of the rest for whatever you don't draft. How's that? All right. So we have seven packs. And one of these would be this one, because it is considerably thicker, is going to have our manufactured patch relic. So let's go ahead and get that out so that we can see who it is. So this person we're not going to talk about, but I will put them on my my team for whenever we play here later this week, just so that I know that I have one good hitter. And that would be Ozzie Albies. So in case you guys missed it, this is from 2022 Topps Update Series. So we're going to have a lot of rookies, a lot of rookie debuts, and some of the kind of less than all-star players are going to be in that. I think is maybe the nice way to phrase that. I don't know. So Gally, our first pack, and I'm giving you first pick. So are you ready for this?
Ready.
We have Geraldo Perdomo, Kyle Schwarber, Spencer Torkelson, Ryan Tepera, Stephen Vogt, Ryan Yarbrough, Connor Pilkington. That is the infield of the Orioles, so that's out. This is new test for the West, that's out. Jake McGee. We got a Julio Rodriguez rookie debut card, a Jacob Stallings, Sonny Gray, and Ryan Mountcastle. So I'm taking out all of the pitchers real quick. All right, so Mountcastle, Stallings, J-Rod, Stephen Vogt, Torkelson, Schwarber, or Perdomo?
Well, I was going to go with Kyle Schwarber at the beginning of the pack. But then Julio Rodriguez showed up, so it was a no-brainer, honestly. There's not a lot of true elite center fielders in the game right now. this guy's one of the young stars, just 22 years old, coming off a baller rookie season. You know, just hits the crap out of the ball, runs really fast. I mean, he does everything well on a baseball field. So that's my player that I'm going to start my team with.
All right. So I'm going to do something that may sound a little bit dumb. And I'm not going to go with an obvious good card in MLB The Show. I'm going to go with Spencer Torkelson. Spencer Torkelson came up. He was one of the top prospects coming into the season for the Detroit Tigers. He did not have a great season. He hit 203, 285, 319, only hit 8 home runs in 110 games. So not exactly what you want to see out of a star first baseman. But in the minors, the dude had quite a bit of power. Not necessarily. 2021, let's see, he hit 30 home runs across 3 levels of the minors. His average is not great, but then again, he's a first baseman. His walk rate in the minors was insane, being around 15%. So, he's a guy that I really think will start to break out this year and perform for the Detroit Tigers. And he's a guy that I think people should be on the lookout for. Like, he was a big prospect for a reason. And I think that he will maybe not live up to 100% of his hype, but he's a lot better player than he showed in 22. All right. So as I'm getting our next pack ready, what do you think of my pick there?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said about Torkelson. Like, he was the number one pick in the draft, obviously, for some reason. So you can't write him off. He's just 23 years old. He had really good discipline, even at the major league level, even when he was really struggling and, you know, not getting a lot of hits or whatever. He still walked like 10% of the time. Showed like that great discipline all through the minors and college and everything. So he was supposed to be the closest to major league level, but things don't always go so smoothly when you do face that top tier pitching. So no reason that Torkelson can't be a really good player for the Tigers.
Yeah. All right. So our next pack, and I think I get to go first this time, right?
Yep.
All right. So we have George Kirby going in the pitcher pile, Colin Moran, Nick Wittgren, pitcher pile, Stephen Kwan, Bobby Witt Jr., Thairo Estrada. We have a rookie combos card of pitchers Angel De Jesus and Elvin Rodriguez. Another rookie combos of Robert Suarez and Steven Wilson. Rob Refsnyder, Jurickson Profar, Wander Franco, rookie debut, Josh Rojas, Corbin Burns, and Javi Baez. So I think I am going to probably take, let's see. Well, I did the thing that people wouldn't expect last time, so I'll do the thing that people do expect this time. I'm going to take Bobby Witt Jr. So Bobby Witt Jr., star shortstop for the Kansas City Royals, so it was Julio, Adley, Stephen Kwan were 1, 2, and 3 in rookie of the year, right? So Bobby Witt, I think, came in maybe 4th, but he had a really really good rookie season with a 2020 season, 20 home runs, 30 stolen bases, a 254 average, playing pretty decent defense, not good defense, but not god awful defense there at short. But he is kind of the spark for this Royals club to come back into contention. And so Bobby Witt Jr., I think everyone is aware that he is going to be a star. And he's probably going to continue to break out here in 2023. I'd be looking for him to have a phenomenal season this year. I think his defense is going to improve. And he's probably going to improve on those offensive numbers as he continues growing into his body coming into his age 23 season.
Yeah, he started kind of slow in the first month of the year, but basically after that, he was really good, and he's definitely still an improving player. So great pick. That was definitely the one I was going to make. But I'm going to take Stephen Kwan, left fielder for the Guardians, who, as you mentioned, finished third in Rookie of the Year. Didn't strike out for like how many games at the beginning of the year? He was just
138.
138 games. Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, you can't strike the guy out. He, you know, makes tons of contact, doesn't hit the ball super hard or anything, but just when you make that much contact, you'll be on base quite a bit. He walks a lot. He's everything that Nick Madrigal should be. And then he plays a great left field defense too. He could probably be a center fielder if it wasn't for the team that he plays on. So Stephen Kwan, that's my pick.
I'd probably be showing these cards like I said I was going to. So there's the Stephen Kwan rookie debut card. And Gowie's first pick, Julio Rodriguez rookie debut.
Wow, we got all rookies. 100% rookies.
I think that'll probably change in this pack. Let's see, my first two, Bobby Witt Jr. rookie debut card and the Spencer Torkelson true rookie card. So, Gowie, you've already got support for your team here in the chat.
I'm liking how it's starting.
So, next pack, you have first pick of the pack. So we've got Alex Colome to the pitcher's pile, Kyle Cody to the pitcher's pile. Now, do we count this one or no? It's a 3,000 hits card for Miggy, but it's not actually Miggy.
Nah.
No? Okay. So we'll knock that one out. So you've got Nico Goodrum, Joe Ross pitcher's pile, opening day Bronx pitcher's pile, Reed Detmers pitcher's pile, Ryan Yarbrough, Cole Irvin. Good Lord. Okay, so there's not a ton of picks here in this one. Huh. So you've got Nico Goodrum, Luke Williams, Corey Seager, Miguel Castro, Randy Arozarena, and then I'm going to show this one off just because it's gorgeous, but he's already on a team. Julio Rodriguez, stars of the MLB card. So,
okay, beautiful this one, card. With my limited choices, this one's kind of a no-brainer. I'm going to take Corey Seager to be my shortstop. First year with the Rangers, he was really good. He actually lost the most hits to the shift of any player. So that led to a 245 batting average, 317 OBP, which was below his career norms and stuff. So maybe he'll make back those hits this season with the shift ban. He still did hit 33 homers. And, you know, he's a stellar player. So I've got some young up-and-coming guys, but Corey Seager is an established superstar. Need him on my team.
You're not leaving me with a ton of options here, are you?
Nico Goodrum? Uh-oh.
I do have Randy Arozarena I could go with.
Okay, yeah, that's probably
that seems move. That seems like the right move. I'll go ahead and get my first outfielder on my team. We're going with paragons of the postseason, Randy Arozarena. Randy probably in right field, I'm guessing. So let's go ahead. So Randy Arozarena, obviously 2020 postseason. The dude was insane. He set like the postseason home runs or like home runs in a single postseason record, didn't he?
Yeah, I think
so. Like 15 or something stupid. But last year he had a really underrated season. I mean, he finished the year after 153 games with a 125 WRC plus, 2.7 WAR, 20 home runs, a 263, 327, 445 slash line, and stole 30 bases. So he had pretty much the same season as Bobby Witt Jr. And I think a lot of people forget that. Like, Randy is a really good young player, and he is really one of the probably bright spots of a Tampa Bay Rays team that kind of seems to fluctuate and never same team on any given day. He's like the one guy who is their cornerstone right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know this because I'm a fantasy guy. Bobby Witt and Randy Arozarena, your two guys on your team, were the only two players in 2022 with 20 homers and 30 steals.
Yeah, and so that could go really well for me on MLB The Show. We'll have to see what Randy cards I could get, because I don't really remember what else there. All right. I think we're going to get some interesting cards in this pack. So we have, and I get first pick of this one. Ooh, can I upgrade to the blue Spencer Torkelson?
Sure, go for it.
All right, so I'm just going to show this one off. So I got this blaster box at Walmart. So there are four royal blue parallels. They're non-numbered, but they look really sweet. This is the same Spencer Torkelson I already have on the team, but I'm going to swap out the card because that one looks good. Let's see. So we have Avisail Garcia. Joan Duran goes to the pitcher's pile. Andrew McCutchen. Brian Lavastida. Ryan Pepiot goes to the pitcher's pile. Seiya Suzuki. Jake Walsh and Josh Stomont go to the pitcher's pile. This is an insert card for ninth all-time in hits. All right, Kyle Isbell, Helio Ramos, and Brandon Marsh. So Avi, McCutchen, Brian Lavastida, Seiya Suzuki, Kyle Isbell, Helio Ramos, and Brandon Marsh. I'm going to go with Andrew McCutchen. So McCutchen is currently a free agent, coming off a season with the Milwaukee Brewers. And Kutch, his best years are definitely behind him, but he's still been a productive bat for Milwaukee last year and for Philly before that. I say productive bat. He's about 100 WRC plus, but still knocking in 17 home runs, still knocking in 70 RBIs. His average has kind of faltered here in the last few years, but he's kind of that veteran leader guy, able to play in the outfield for you. And I mean, the dude's a former MVP. I kind of just want him on my team. And I don't think anyone's going to fault me for that.
Like it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. His best years are behind him, but the fact that he's still putting up kind of league average numbers as a 36-year-old, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Also, selfishly, that was an MLB The Show move because he had a 99 collection reward card this year. So just improved my team a lot.
Okay, so I'm going to fill out my outfield here and go with Seiya Suzuki, 28-year-old right fielder for the Cubs, who was a Japanese superstar. He's like Team Japan's premier player for this upcoming World Baseball Classic. He definitely showed like the signs that he can be a really, really good player at the major league level, but he only showed those in sort of short samples right at the beginning of the year. And then a little bit later in the year, he had some struggles for sure. In his first year in the majors, he dealt with some weird fluky injuries. Like he hurt his finger sliding into a base and missed a bunch of time with that. But I think year two in the majors for Suzuki is going to be really awesome, and I think he's going to become kind of a household name for MLB fans.
I like that pick. Yeah, Seiya is a guy who I kind of think had an incredibly underrated season last year. And so him being on the field for a full season, I think he's going to be really solid. All right, so we have pack number, what is this, five?
Hey, look who it is.
Right off the top, Carlos Correa, Gabriel Arias, Yu Chang, Brad Miller, dancing in Detroit, Zach Davies goes to the pitcher pile, Penn Murphy and Danny Young rookie combos to the pitcher pile. So there's some options for us later. New Test of the West card, a Bobby Witt Jr. rookie debut card. But he is already on a team, so let's put him there. Cesar Hernandez, Lucius Fox, Chris Bassett, Bo Brisky, and Julio Urias are going to the pitcher's pile. So we've got Lucius Fox, Cesar Hernandez, Brad Miller, Yu Chang, Gabriel Arias, Carlos Correa.
All right. So I'm not going to cheat and take Carlos Correa and make him my third baseman. I've already got a shortstop. I will sort of stretch the position kind of things. And I think I'm going to take... Wait, let me see him again. Read him again.
Correa, Arias, oh, yeah. Brad Miller, Cesar Hernandez, Lucius Fox.
Okay, I think I'm going to take Gabriel Arias, who has been a top prospect for a while. It's kind of unclear what position he's going to play. He did play some third base last year with the Guardians. He played 9 games at third base. He only got 57 plate appearances and hit 191, but I'm just kind of betting on his prospect status the last few years. He didn't have the best season at AAA or anything, but the prior seasons, 2021, 2019, good numbers in the minor league level. So I'm going with Arias.
All right. I like that pick. We haven't really seen a ton of Arias in the mix, so I'm not 100% sure what we're going to be getting out of him. I was doing a little bit of looking here to make sure that my next pick was a good pick, and it is not. So we're gonna do what you didn't have the audacity to do. We're going to put Carlos Correa at third base. So... I don't really know what else there is to say about Correa that hasn't already been said. The dude had a really underrated season this year with the Twins. He's obviously had one weird offseason going from the Giants to the Mets back to the Twins, where hopefully he sticks this time. But yeah, I think Carlos Correa would be a really good anchor at third base for me. So let's do it. All right, pack number 6. Ooh, okay. We've got a fun one here. I imagine one of us is going to take him. We also have a hit. Does that mean I have to use the hit as my pick?
I mean, it's up to you. It's your pick.
All right. So we got Savali in the pitcher's pile, Harold Ramirez, George Kirby in the pitcher's pile, Drew Smyly in the pitcher's pile, Thyro Estrada, Brad Boxberger, Jose Azucar, Andrelton Simmons, J.P. Sears in the pitcher pile, Bobby Witt Jr., stars of MLB Chrome. So that's a really nice card. I'm going to set that over here to sleeve up later. Our hit is an Austin Nola out of 299 orange foil. So that is a beautiful card. It is Austin Nola, so probably not the best catcher to get. Shohei Ohtani tops black gold. That's a gorgeous card. Ian Happ and Alec Thomas. Crap, I didn't realize that Ohtani was going to be in this pack. Shoot. Gowie, what do I do? Do I fill up my outfield or do I go with Ohtani at a DH?
I can't tell you what to do here.
Oh, shoot. Okay, I'm going with Ohtani at DH. God. I have to. I knew that was going to happen. So, yeah, there's the Ohtani black gold. That is a gorgeous card. Shohei Ohtani, what is there to say that hasn't been said hundreds of times? The dude is probably the single best baseball player that we have ever seen in our lives. I think this year he was second in the MVP voting. He was fourth in the Cy Young voting. That is something that has never happened for a guy that hits the ball every day. Ever. He is the first to do that. His bat was not the same this year as it was in 2021. However, if I could spell Shohei Ohtani correctly, I will pull up his line. he still slashed. He actually had the one of the best averages of in the majors so far. He had a 273, 34 home runs, had 11 steals, walked 10 or 11% of the time. Like, Shohei Ohtani is just a beast with the bat, and this was his pitching season. So 100% have to have him as my DH in this. I would be stupid not to. Much to Gautam's chagrin. You have Hap, Alec Thomas, Harold Ramirez. I think you should go with Harold Ramirez. Thairo Estrada, Jose Azucar, Andrelton Simmons, or Austin Nola.
Yeah, actually, so there's a lot of good outfielders there, and I have a full outfield, unfortunately. So I think I'm going to have to take Harold Ramirez and make him my first baseman. Harold Ramirez is a really weird player because he makes a lot of contact, has like not that much power, not that much speed. He's basically like just hit tool and pretty much nothing else. He doesn't really give you good defense either, but he's kind of
what excited my team about is it, right dude. Now.
Yeah, I'm not really that excited. I'm trying to sell myself and I'm not finding anything that I like that much. But sometimes you just gotta, you just have a guy like that in your lineup. Like, he's not gonna kill you, but he's not exciting.
I mean, his strikeout rate is 16%, and that is pretty close to his career average, which is actually a little higher than that. But he hit 300, only striking out 16% of the time, over 430 plate appearances. Yeah, he doesn't have the power, but like, that's a pretty valuable bat to have, getting a guy on base to then be able to drive in.
Yeah, so, but he's got a 300 average, but terrible plate discipline. Like, this guy's a free swinger among free swingers. He just walked 4% of the time this year, and his OBP was like 340, which is like pretty decent, but I don't know if that's going to happen ever again. But Harold Ramirez.
That's fair. All right, and for those of you that are wondering why we have not picked any pitchers yet, pitchers are coming at the end after we have lineups. So we are putting all of the pitchers in a separate pile, and Gowie is supposed to be remembering which ones he likes because this is going to be a very large stack to go back through. So hopefully he's got some ideas of who he wants. But we are down to our last pack. We still need 1, 2, 3, 4 positions each. It looks like. So we're going to have to double back. So we'll pick some guys that we've had come up. All right. So our next pack, we've got Steven Duggar. And I believe you have first pick this time. So Joe Ryan to the pitcher's pile. Steven Duggar, Alex Dickerson, Roberto Perez, Rene Pinto. We've seen this card already. We've seen that card already. We've seen that card. Ooh, this is not good. We're getting a repeat pack. Jake Fraley, Sergio Romo, and Nick Lodolo go there. Michael Givens goes there, and Royce Lewis. So Royce Lewis, Jake Fraley, Rene Pinto, Roberto Perez, Alex Dickerson, and Steven Duggar.
Well, I don't like my options very much, I'll be honest. I think I'm going to go with Roberto Perez. Just going to go with the defensive first catcher. Have nothing good to say about his offensive profile, but he can catch.
And that's what you need. You need a guy that can catch. Oh, I have screwed up the focus on my camera. Uh-oh. Let me get this in here real quick. Roberto Perez. I'm going to go ahead and finish up my outfield. And I think I'm going to do that with an Alex Dickerson. So Alex Dickerson has been a bit of a journeyman the last couple of years. He was with
was he even on a team last year?
He was. He was with Atlanta. So with the Padres in 2015 and 16. What happened to him in 17 and 18? Was he hurt?
He had some like catastrophic injuries that made him miss a lot of time.
Oh. And then in 2019, I believe he spent time with the Marlins. Does that sound right?
Not really.
No. before going to the Giants and then Atlanta last year. He had an abysmal 36 plate appearances in 2022. But in 2021, he did have a pretty solid season. He was kind of a postseason hero a little bit. That kind of reconstructed outfield in the second half of 2021. Wait, what am I thinking? Am I thinking Duvall? I'm thinking Duvall. This is real awkward. I'm literally spending all my time here talking about Adam Duvall.
I was wondering. Yeah, he spent 2019 with the Marlins. I was like, what? Who are we talking
all
about?
All right. Well, I've put Alex Dickerson on my team. Clearly, I know nothing about what he's done recently, but that's he's my pick for left field. Let's just move on. Okay, so, Gally, we both need second base. What happened here? Did I forget to list down one of my players? Yes, I forgot to put Shohei. Okay, so we both have two positions left. You need a DH. I need a catcher, which my catcher, I'm going to default to the hit that we did pull. I need to figure out why my camera is. This is going to be awkward for a minute, but let me turn my camera off and back on. There we go. So we had a hit of Austin Nola, and so he is going to become my catcher. Who do you remember that you would like for your DH?
You got it. You're going to have to help me out. Were there any like true DHs? Probably not.
Kyle Schwarber.
It's not a DH.
He can be.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll technically, make him my DH. Technically, I can't use DHs in MLB The Show anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
I guess maybe at that point we just shouldn't pick DHs.
Skip it. Just skip the DH. Yeah.
All right. So second baseman. This is where it gets interesting. Thiago Estrada is an option. Andrelton Simmons could probably play second. I think Yu Chang, Cesar Hernandez, Lucius Fox.
I'm going to go with Thiago Estrada because I kind of like this player. He quietly had 14 home runs and 21 steals this past season. Can play all around the diamond, including second base and shortstop. Makes a good deal of contact. I mean, I feel like this is like your perfect utility man, bench kind of option. Probably can start for extended amounts of time. And he's just going to be a solid player for your team.
I like that. Can I go back and choose Ozzy Albies?
Sure.
All right. I am choosing Ozzy Albies, who was injured for a lot of this season. But historically, Ozzy Albies is probably been the best second baseman in the league, not named Jose Altuve. There's the Thiago Estrada, by the way. The best second baseman in the league, not named Jose Altuve, for probably, the last 4 years? Does that seem like a fair statement?
Yeah, he's definitely up there.
So I feel like I would be doing him a disservice by not picking him for my team. So we are going to go with the Ozzy Albies. Let me delete my DH thing here. All right, so now we've got full lineups. The eight hitters, and now we've got to pick some pitchers. And I hope you were paying attention.
I wasn't.
Because
I'll be honest, I'm going to need some help.
All right, so interesting relievers. We've got like Sergio Romo. We've got...
I'll take Michael Givens because I remember him.
Yeah, he was actually the top one. I completely skipped over him because I didn't think you were going to pick him. That's awkward. Michael Givens. All right.
Yeah, so Michael Givens has been a reliever for his entire career, and he's actually been pretty good most of the years with Baltimore. He actually signed back with Baltimore for the 2023 season. Strikes out a decent number of batters, has struggled with the walks at times, so he's pretty typical of a lot of relievers. Really hard thrower, got a funky three-quarters delivery kind of sidearm thing that he's got going on that must be frightening for right-handed batters. So he's my guy, Michael Givens.
All right. I am going to go with Joan Duran. Rookie relief pitcher for the Minnesota Twins this year had a really, really, really good year. Let's see if I can get his stats pulled up real quick. He had a 1.86 ERA in 67 and two-thirds innings. Striking out, where is it in percent? 33% of batters that he faced. So Duran had just an absolutely astounding rookie season as a reliever. And that's a guy that I want on my team if I'm in the postseason. He is your lockdown reliever. He's who I wish Phillies had last year. For the entire year that I was trapped Phillies bullpen, Duran would have been perfect. So, yeah, so I'm going with Duran. So now starting pitchers, there's a couple good ones. So let me mention some real quick, but let me get to a couple of the good ones before you pick. Reed Detmers, Joe Ryan, George Kirby, Julio Urias, Chris Bassett. I think we had a Corbin Burnes in here. We had a Cole Irvin, if you really want him. Joe Ross. There's the Corbin Burnes, Sonny Gray, and technically Shohei Ohtani is back on the board.
So you'll pick?
Oh, it is me, isn't it? Yes, so I'm going to go with... Because I really enjoy his future stars card, I'm actually going to go with Reed Detmers. So Reed Detmers, rookie for the LA Angels last year, coming into this year, he threw a no-hitter last year, and he did it while only striking out two batters. That is, one, unheard of, two, phenomenal. He has the grit, he has the pitch mix to be able to pitch at the major league level. I do expect him to start missing a couple more bats this year compared to last year. But yeah, I think he's on his way to becoming a really, really solid major league starter.
Yeah. And even after the no hitter, he kind of struggled a little bit, went to the minors for a bit. But when he came back, he was kind of a beast. Seemed like he figured some stuff out. And yeah, he could have a really good season this year.
Yeah. All right. So your pick.
I'm taking the obvious one, I think. I mean, Ohtani would be a good pick, but I'm taking Corbin Burnes.
I thought you were going to say Joe Ryan. This is awkward.
Joe Ryan's an obvious pick. Yeah, I'm going to go with Corbin Burnes. He just one of the most dominant pitchers in the league over the last couple of years now. Just 28 years old. He didn't exactly do what he did in a Cy Young season from 2021, but it was pretty darn close. I mean, 2.94 ERA, 0.97 WHIP, struck out 30% of batters. He's just dominant when he's on the mound and kind of a workhorse too. 202 innings this past season.
A really good pick. So that is our starting lineups. I will make sure to fill up the benches with other guys that we pulled here. Just that way I can't really cheat. But I will be going live here later this week. I will let you guys know when. It's probably going to be Friday. And I'm going to try out these lineups. I'll definitely be using mine. I'm going to see if I could get a friend to play me with yours and put them head to head and see what happens. I think that'd be really fun.
That'd be fun, for sure.
So just to recap, would you like to tell us your team? And if you've put any thought into batting order, feel free to take a crack at it, or we can figure that out later if you don't have it off the top of your head.
I'll give it a shot here. So leading off, left fielder Stephen Kwan. Batting second, shortstop Corey Seager. Batting third, center fielder Julio Rodriguez. Cleanup right fielder, Seiya Suzuki. First baseman, batting fifth, Harold Ramirez. Second baseman, Tyro Estrada. Batting eighth is third baseman, Gabriel Arias. And then ninth.
Eighth or seventh?
Seventh. Did I miss a guy? I don't think I did.
Well, you didn't miss a, you just missed a number. Because we don't have a DH.
Oh, got you. Batting eighth, Roberto Perez. And then my pitchers are Corbin Burns and Michael Givens.
All right. And then you're, yeah, so Michael Givens and Joan Duran will both be in the closer role for these games, by the way. All right. So my team I have leading off is going to be Mr. Randy Arozarena. Go with Ozzie Albies at two, playing second base. Batting third, I think we're going to go with Bobby Witt Jr. at short, or yeah, at shortstop. Center fielder, Andrew McCutchen, batting cleanup. At fifth, I think we're going to go with third base, Carlos Correa. Sixth, first baseman, Spencer Torkelson. Seventh, and this is a tough one. Who's seventh and who's eighth? Alex Dickerson, I guess by default, is going to be batting seventh, and Austin Nola will be batting eighth before Reed Detmers comes in to strike out. Does that seem like a pretty fair
perfect
lineup?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. I have messed up there. Cool. So I hope you guys enjoyed this this little exercise here. It's definitely challenging. I'm going to have to figure out a way so that you guys can see me open the cards if we do this again. But let us know your thoughts on kind of how this went, if this is something you would like to see us do again. But we will be going live here later this week to use these teams. Hopefully I could get Savannah that hangs out in our Twitch chat or our mod DZ Golfs to play me on Friday. So we'll see. I'm going to pressure you guys into it. So please say yes. But yeah, so I think that is pretty much all we got for tonight, unless you've got something else.
Nope, that's it. That was a lot of fun.
Cool. So if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. Or your YouTube and your favorite podcasting apps. If you follow us on YouTube, please make sure to hit both the subscribe button and the little notification bell. That way you get notifications every time we post new content. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Getaway Day Pod. Also on Instagram and TikTok if you like some of the short form content, a little bit of card videos, etc. We post them there. And that is also at Getaway Day Pod. I think I've got an idea. We might post a trivia question on our Twitter this week. So make sure to check that out. See if you can answer that question. And if you can, we will be giving out, the first person to answer that question a shout out next week on the pod. So hopefully your Twitter handle is, appropriate. Otherwise this can be real awkward for me. I think that's all I got. So with that, we will take it, call it for the night, and we will see you back here next week. If you enjoy this episode, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app or YouTube so that you never miss a future episode. On YouTube, you got to hit that subscribe button and that little notification bell to get notifications. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok at Getaway Day Pod.